Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big
money at Menards. This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings before listening. This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
He became my best friend. I felt like he knew me in a way my other friends or even my family didn't know. It kind of led to my downfall. After the breakup, I just went to get like a normal flu shot and I filled out the abuse survey. And what shocked me was I answered yes to every single one of those abuse questions, which was shocking to me.
One of the most dangerous things about being in a relationship for the first time is it can be really hard to recognize what is not healthy behavior. It's easy to explain away certain things that your partner does, especially if the abuse is not physical. Hey, it's Abby, and this is going to be a much more serious episode of the Breakup Breakdown. As I mentioned in the very beginning of this episode, there's a ton of sensitive content in this interview. So please, please, please check content warnings before you choose to listen. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of the Breakup Breakdown. And thank you so much for tuning in to what I feel like is going to be an extremely important episode. I mentioned at the end of last week's episode that this was going to be a little bit of a heavier episode. And when I say a little bit heavier, I mean like a lot heavier. As you know, this season, we've really put a focus on supporting domestic violence shelters throughout the country. And October is actually Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So it's only fitting that we kick off this month with a story that I think is really going to be extremely impactful to anybody that chooses to listen to it. Before we get into the episode, I want to tell you what domestic violence shelter I'm donating to this week. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I'm based in Florida. And last week we were actually hit with a pretty severe hurricane. Luckily, I'm not in the part of Florida that was hit as intensely. Fort Myers was unexpectedly hit and it was pretty devastating to their community. From what I can tell based off my research, there's actually only one domestic violence shelter in the area. And I think now more than ever, it's crucial to be able to support it. So I've linked the Abuse Counseling and Treatment Emergency Shelter in Lee County in the episode description. This is a safe haven for victims of domestic violence and their children. And there are so many different ways you can support them. So again, check out that link. It's in the episode description. I know we like to keep things really lighthearted and fun on this podcast, but one of the coolest things that's come out of doing this from this side of producing it is getting a DM from someone and having them say, wow, thank you so much for putting out that episode. Can you please tell a person that came on, thank you for sharing their story. It made me feel so much less alone. Or actually, that sounds a lot like the relationship that I'm in. And we get to have a conversation about that. And so this episode really is to further the conversation about maybe an overlooked way that domestic violence plays out in people's lives. A huge, huge chunk of my audience is college-aged women. And this story is going to center around a girl's college relationship and something that really stood out to me in our original screening interview. And you'll hear it later in this episode as well. She's like, I didn't realize that I was in an abusive relationship. It wasn't until somebody pointed out tangible examples of what was going on in her life that she knew she needed to get out. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited to put this episode out, is because I'm really hoping somebody will listen to it or somebody will get sent this episode and it'll really give them the courage to step out of that abusive relationship. So to kind of talk about the submission and give you context for this relationship, it was very much classic me just scrolling through my submission. I got the contact information of this girl and the submission was pretty just cut and dry. Like, hey, there's this girl. She was with this guy for 2 years. They broke up, always thought they were kind of an odd couple. So can you figure out what happened here? And so I get on this screening interview and we start talking about their relationship. And then all of a sudden it takes a hard turn into a much more serious conversation. And it was interesting to me because I had read the submission and I was like, I didn't necessarily expect this to go the way that it did. I didn't expect this to be a conversation about domestic violence. And it got me thinking, how many people do we follow or know in our own lives where we're just like, yep, it's that girl and that guy, kind of an odd couple, they're in a relationship. And we have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. If you listen to this episode and her situation sounds like something you or somebody you know is going through, or if it even just helps you pinpoint dangerous situations that you've been in your life or again, somebody else's life, I'm linking resources in this episode description so you or somebody you love can get the help that they need. As you can tell, this is gonna be a pretty triggering episode. And at times, I'll be honest, it's really challenging to listen to. Not because the interviewee did a bad job, I know you're listening to this. Hey girl, you did a great job. It's hard because it's extremely raw. It might be the most raw episode I've ever put out. And so it's my hope that this act of vulnerability will help somebody. And that's why we're going to break down this week's breakup.
My ex and I met through like mutual friends our second semester of freshman year in college. We lived in the same building, one floor apart. So it's kind of weird. We never crossed paths that first semester, but it kind of seemed like fate we didn't cross paths because he had a long distance girlfriend that first semester anyways. Really sad story for her. He ended up cheating on her with another girl. She comes up a lot in the story, so I'm just going to going to give her like a fake name, Tina. So cheat on his last girlfriend with Tina. And then he eventually broke up with the girlfriend before I met him. Second semester rolls around. He was single. I was single. We were introduced through mutual friends. And then we just started out as friends with benefits. I wasn't looking for anything serious. And he just left a relationship. So that's kind of how it started.
So it just started off as this casual relationship, just two hot young college kids on the scene. And then I'm assuming it developed into more.
Yeah. So we like hung out all the time. I'm going to be honest, and this is anonymous, so you can't come after me for this, but I was not that physically attracted to him. Initially refused to like kiss him when we hooked up. I don't know why it's so embarrassing to me. I just wasn't attracted to him. And of course I never told him, not even when we were dating. And he would ask me like, why don't you kiss me? And I was like, oh, you know, I had bad experiences and I prefer not to, which is true. I wasn't lying to him. We mostly hooked up when I was like drunk, high, or both, you know, college. What made me really fall for him was he was caring towards me. He's not known to be caring or nice to anyone. So, you know, made me feel special. Knowing he only smiled or laughed when he was with me. Because of this tenderness for me, he made me feel kind of safe and secure, which I never felt before. And then I was, you know, finally comfortable enough to kiss him when we would have sex.
I was seven drinks in. He was really nice to me. I was feeling the vibe.
Yeah, but then like, because that tenderness, he would ask me like, how does this feel? Like, are you okay? Like, I don't know. That's obviously the bare minimum, you know. Looking back, a guy should be like, are you comfortable with this? Are you okay? Yeah. You know, instead of just having sex. I don't know. I never been cared for in that way. I guess at the time I was just too young and naive. And I was like, oh my God, he's making me feel so cared for. I knew I was out of his league. Like, he became my best friend fairly quickly. I felt like he knew me in a way my other friends or even my family didn't know. But because I was allowing myself to be that vulnerable, it kind of led to my downfall.
It led to your downfall. What does that mean?
There was a lot of red flags. And I was just like, you know, it's fine. You're just thinking, I'm never going to find someone like this. No one will know me as well as he does, like that type of thing. Because I've always kept my guard up, but with him, I didn't. So I felt like if I kind of noticed it earlier on and I didn't, I guess, ignore it, you know, I wouldn't be here today.
So what were some of these red flags that were starting to show themselves in your relationship?
Well, I could think back to the first red flag was the day he asked me to be his girlfriend. Whole story behind that, lots of drama. After freshman year, we kind of stayed in contact as friends throughout the summer. We talk, we FaceTime every day as friends would do. Obviously, we would talk about our hookups and dates because I'm like, this is my best guy friend, like whatever. So he would start to tell me, I felt like he tried to one up me almost. And he was like, yeah, well, I hooked up with my other ex-girlfriend. And I also hooked up with Tina, the girl that, you know, he cheated on his last girlfriend. And I was like, oh, very interesting. Tina also went to the same school as us. I didn't think much of it because we're both single, but looking back, it kind of felt like a form of control, almost like starting to slut shame me, like, oh, you're going on these dates with you guys. Are you hooking up with them? Are you being a whore? Like that type of vibe. And I was like, I didn't catch on to it because I was like, oh yeah, whatever.
He would call you a whore?
Yeah, that was after we dated.
Oh.
And I still stayed, which was kind of bad.
Until he waited until after you guys were broken up to call
you. Yeah, when he was more comfortable enough to tell me that.
The first red flag is him just being awful with the language he's using with you and also starting to express forms of control. I'm assuming this cycle of just red flags and mistreatment just continued throughout the relationship. What was that breaking point for you where you're like, I'm out?
The first and only physical abuse situation happened, which I'm glad, like, you know, it was only once, but still, it kind of set the tone for the entire relationship. I think it was 6 months into our 2-year relationship. We were arguing about what I wore to a friend's birthday, and he was accusing me of cheating on him because one guy I kissed once before we even met was there. And mind you, he hangs out with Tina all the time. Like, I'm cool with it, even though she doesn't acknowledge me, like whatever. I'm just like, you know what? I trust you. But for him to do that to me, like, it was ridiculous. Well, I cried the entire birthday party because he kept texting me horrible things and how I will always be a whore. And then he started to say really racist things to my friends who were trying to help and de-escalate the situation. He called me multiple times, but then my friends were like, you know what? You should just enjoy the night. I know you're crying your eyes out because he's saying these horrible things. And like, we know you love him, all this stuff. They just took my phone away. They like hid it. And I was like, all right.
Those are some good friends.
Yeah. So he was mad that they hid my phone. He couldn't contact me. So yeah, that was a whole thing. And then a few weeks later, we argued about the whole situation again. And I felt like he was getting really angry to the point where he could be physically violent. I tried to leave his dorm room, but he grabbed my backpack, like the only thing I had on me to defend myself. He threw out the hallway. He locked the door. And I was just like, oh, fuck. Like, we're like arguing. I'm not even like arguing with him anymore. He's just yelling. The last thing I remember is I was huddled in a corner. I was on the floor, like crying. He picked up his like desk chair and he threw it at me. He punched the wall next to my face. And like at that point, I was so scared. I kind of just like blacked out. Like, I didn't really know what happened next or like how much time has passed. But I guess after a while, he cooled down and he tried to comfort me. But like, all I could say was like, don't touch me. Don't come near me. Don't, like, please don't hurt me. Like, I was just begging him. And then he just carried me onto his bed and I just sobbed until I fell asleep. He apologized after when I woke up and said, I was angry because you tried to leave without talking to me. And because I was trying to leave, I made him angry. And he said, I wouldn't be, have been angry if you were just talking to me and you didn't try to leave. And I didn't respond because like at the time I was just so shocked that I'm like, you know, what else am I supposed to do but leave? He promised he would never do that again. And he didn't want to lose me. He never did like anything physically like that again, but he hurt me in ways that were not physical. Like, he's very emotionally and verbally abusive, which I think kind of put me down so that I stayed that long after the relationship. Because mind you, this was only like 6 months into our 2 year relationship.
I mean, I can just hear it in your voice, just how terrifying that moment must have been. I mean, to have the person that you are the most emotionally attached to, the person that you feel like you can trust with everything, is doing unspeakable things to you because he what got angry. So this is 6 months into your relationship and that's occurred. What was your thought process after that happened that was keeping you in that relationship? Were you thinking, you know, he said he'll never do that again, so I trust him and I believe him, or I love him so much that I want to be able to work through this? What was going through your mind during that time?
I think at the time he had already kind of distanced me from my friends. He would say stuff like, you know, your friends are so dumb. You deserve better friends because you're in engineering and, you know, your friends are like dumb. They're not that type of person for you. They're all whores. Like, you're not a whore, right? Why would you hang out with them? Like, that type of stuff. And he said it so much that I started to believe it. And I was like, maybe I don't want to be associated with them. Just like when you argue about it so much for months on end, you just kind of give up. And like after that physical incident, I just kind of felt like, you know, maybe I shouldn't anger him to that point anymore. Like, I was kind of like on eggshells, like subconsciously. And from the distancing from my friends and also my family, I just felt like he was the only person that understood me. Maybe it was some type of trauma bond. I'm not really sure, but I was either, I still don't know. Like, I still believe that I loved him, but maybe it was out of fear of leaving, or maybe it was because I felt like so isolated, I had no one to leave to.
You're like, okay, well, if I can not anger him, maybe everything will be okay. And I can still protect this relationship that I want to stay in. And then also like the fear of having to be alone. I can't even imagine having to choose a relationship that was so toxic and abusive. Where did things progress from there? Because you said you stayed in this relationship for 2 years. At the end of that 2 years, what was the final straw for you?
Well, we had a lot of arguments and stuff like that. And it really didn't help junior year when we lived together during COVID. I think subconsciously I never healed from what happened. And I always pushed myself into like my schoolwork, my job. I was applying for a bunch of internships, scholarships. Like, I was doing anything to avoid dealing with what happened because I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, it got to a point where like I didn't even want to have sex with him, even though we lived in the same apartment. I just blamed it on being busy. So it was like a whole thing. And I think because I didn't, like, our sex life wasn't that great, it kind of dug up his insecurities again. And he would like guilt trip me into having sex with him. And it honestly felt like a chore. I think he felt it too. And like, it hurt him. The emotional and verbal abuse continued. And like, it was just never enough. And I felt like completely drained. And after that year, when he moved back home, I had a mental breakdown a few weeks later. And like I said, I felt like he was the only one I can confide in. He got annoyed at me for calling after he moved out. And he said, you know, this is the reason why I moved out so fast. Just figure your shit out, and hung up. So I just felt like, looking back, I was like, maybe he used me for that apartment. And then after that lease was up or whatever, he couldn't use me anymore. So I guess that's why he was just like, you know, maybe we should break up.
So he initiated the breakup at the end of the 2 years. For the times where he did try to break up with you, I'm assuming you're saying tried to break up with you because you wanted to stay in that relationship. What were the reasons you wanted to stay with him? Was it just you clinging on to the best parts of that relationship, or just the security of having a partner?
I think it was just time invested. I did so much for him. He did so much for me. And I felt like, how could he just throw it away? You know what I mean? I think it was just trauma bonded to him to the point where like, I'm already distanced from my friends. I haven't talked to them closely like that or gotten to know like the friends I made freshman year. Like, I just dropped all of them. My family, I wasn't that close with to begin with. And then with him, I started actually getting closer to my family. But at the same time, because I sold like his character to my parents so much, like it was a big deal for someone to meet my parents. I just couldn't let it go because I felt like maybe embarrassed or ashamed if like they found out, you know, I went through this. this if they found out like he was doing all this stuff. I don't know what it was or like how I sold him to my parents for them to like him. But after the breakup, like it felt like I broke up with him, not the other way around, because he continued to come over and try to talk to me, even though he had someone new. But at that point, I was just so done, especially after having to tell him that I might be pregnant, having the pregnancy scare.
So you had a pregnancy scare after the relationship came to an end?
Yeah, it was during, and I was just too scared to tell him because I didn't know how he would react. Maybe like he would get violent again. Like I just didn't know. And when breakup did happen, I was like, okay, well now I probably have to tell him. When I told him, his first reaction was like, well, that's very inconvenient. And I was like, yep, because of what he put me through and the harassment and stalking from the breakup, I was losing like 15 pounds a week. I was drinking a lot. So I think I just kind of ignored those pregnancy signs. And then my period finally came. I was just like, okay, I have to see a gyno after this. I went to the gyno and they were like, what were your pregnancy tests? And I was like, oh, I got 2 negative. And then I got 1 positive. I thought that was just a mistake. And they were like, oh, well, were you drinking a lot? Like, were you losing weight? And I was like, yeah, I was losing a lot of weight at the time. I guess I was drinking a lot. And they were like, oh, you might have miscarried. And that really put me on a spiral. I didn't know how to deal with it because I thought like, you know, I already got rid of him. I have nothing to do with him. I blocked him on everything. He didn't even care when I told him that I might be pregnant and the way he reacted.
It must have been traumatizing. And then to have him say that it's an inconvenience when it's literally this experience that you've had to suffer through.
That's when I got the school involved because he started emailing with the university email. Apparently, I didn't know this. You can't block other students, you know, the university email. And so he kept emailing me and like saying, like, I want to talk to you. What happened? Also, I had to call IT involved and I was like, hey, can you block this person? This is what's been going on. Obviously, they read through the messages and they were like, maybe you should talk to the sexual assault advocacy line and get a therapist from there, which I did. And like, she was very helpful because after he was blocked on the email, he started following me after class. And then that's when I got the professor involved in that class. And at the time, like I stopped going to the gym, I stopped being on campus and I had to change my gym schedule. I was scared he was going to go to my apartment. So I had to change like the number, like the dial in number. But yeah, and then I would see him at the bar. And one time he followed me to the bathroom. Like it was like a whole thing. And it was just months of that on end. And recently, like he would get fake phone numbers to call me, like spam numbers, and just call me nonstop. Then I want to say 3 weeks ago when we last talked, his mom called me and left a voicemail.
After me and you talked, she called.
Yeah, that was very scary. As soon as like I showed you that spam call that was ringing at the end of our interview, right? And then the next phone number was his mom's, which I didn't have saved. So I was like, what is this number from the state doing? I was like, very odd that he's revealing his actual phone number or like a phone number from his state. Because usually when he does fake calls, it's like from random places in the US.
He knew we were talking.
I know, it was so scary. I didn't pick up. When I tell you, my heart skipped a beat. Like I was frozen. I was so scared. I didn't pick up. And then a voicemail from that number was calling. I didn't recognize her voice at first, but she said her name. She's like, hi, this is so-and-so. I hope you're doing well after graduation. And she was like, you know, call me back. I want to ask you something. She didn't say, I want to talk to you. She didn't say like, I hope you're doing well. Call me back. I want updates. She said specifically, I want to ask you something.
Wait, that's so ominous.
I know. I was like, I'm not going to call back. I'm scared. Like,
yeah, no, I would never advocate for you getting back in contact with them, but I am left on a cliffhanger. I will say that.
Yeah, I know. My friends were like, call him. Like one of my younger friends, she's like, call him back. I want to know what happens. I was like, at what cost? At what cost? My life?
Yeah. Exactly. At what cost? I want to talk a little bit about you getting in contact with the sexual assault advisor or sexual assault counselor. Will you talk to me a little bit about what those conversations with the counselor were like? What kind of questions were they asking you? Is that when you identified the fact that this was a really abusive relationship?
You know, I should have sought out therapy, but how I was raised, like I was raised by immigrant parents. They went through war. They're like, school's not that hard. You're fine. If we went through war, you're good. Just mental health was not like a big conversation in my family. So I just kind of pushed through it. A few things was referred to her both by the IT department at my university and the nurse at my university. After the breakup, I just went to get like a normal flu shot and I filled out the abuse survey. And what shocked me was I answered yes to every single one of those abuse questions. And I had 3 to 5 examples for each one, which was shocking to me because I never thought of myself as a victim, especially being like a first gen. I'm the eldest daughter. I take care of everyone. I'm responsible for everything. Like I see myself as very strong. So I would never suspect myself to be a victim. And so it was really hard to take in. And when I went to get that flu shot, the doctor was like, are you okay? And I was like, no. I kind of just try to be my happy-go-lucky self and make a joke when she asked, are you fearful for your life? Like, do you think he's going to come after you and kill you? Is what she asked. And I was like, oh, that's funny you mentioned that. I had a nightmare a few days ago that's reoccurring now that he comes and kills me. And I was like, oh, ha ha. like, it's just a dream. And she was like, honey, it's not funny. When she said that, it just took like my coping mechanism of humor down. And I just sobbed in her office. And she was like, okay, you should probably contact the sexual assault advocacy team. So it was both IT department telling me and the nurse from my flu shot telling me to contact them. And when I finally contact them and explained, they set me up with my therapist.
So you wouldn't have classified his behavior as abuse before that moment. What did you think was happening? Did you just think, oh, this is just a really difficult relationship?
Yeah, I think it was just a difficult relationship. It was my first serious relationship, so I didn't know what to expect. And I always gave people the benefit of the doubt too much, which might be my flaw. I just explained away his behavior. Like, I would just relate it back to myself. He's probably a hothead because of X, Y, and Z, what he went through when he's little. Like, things like that. When I'm talking to my therapist and like explaining the situation, what made me realize that it was abuse and I was so conditioned to it was when she told me, you know, even when you talk about these situations, you are still defending him and his actions. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it just hit me. And I was like, even though I know that it's wrong, I'm still defending him. Like, I've always been doing that against my friends when they would like mention something. I'm like, no, like, he's not like that. Like, stuff like that. I was just so conditioned to it.
It's funny that you bring up the defending thing, because I just read a book, you probably heard of it, that deals with domestic violence. It's called It Ends With Us. Basically, like, the entire story is like very similar to some of the things that you went through. And like the entire story, she's sort of justifying the things that he did and defending him. If you were talking to somebody who maybe you're hearing their experience in a relationship and you're like, that sounds a lot like domestic violence, what kind of advice would you give them to recognize it? And then also, what advice would you give them to have the courage to actually leave that relationship?
Listen to your gut. Like, if you know it's wrong, if you know, like, for example, I saw a lot of red flags, but I just gave him the benefit of the doubt. I still had that gut feeling deep down. This is not right. Definitely listen to your gut. Don't push it away, because I'm still trying to figure this out myself. Definitely know that when you leave a relationship, you're not alone. Even though, like, I felt so isolated. I felt like I didn't have my friends. I didn't talk to them for the longest time. I'm not close with family. But when I'm telling my story to like my friends or my family, I know that their reaction and the way they care for me, it made me realize that even though I may not be close with them or like all this stuff, they will always have my back no matter what happens. And like, because of it, blessing in disguise, I actually got closer with my friends. I got closer with my family. Just know that you're never alone and that you have resources to seek out, whether it's through a university, whether it's through any type of online help. It's hard to leave. People say like, oh, like, you were suffering all this stuff. Like, he did all these things to you. Why didn't you just leave? Every person's story is different. Just know that it's not the easiest thing to do. But when you do, like, so many good things come into your life. The universe just rewards you with stuff when you leave. Like it sucked for the past 4 months after, when I had to peel myself off the floor, coming to the realization that I was abused, coming to the realization that like I may not have anyone, all this other stuff. It was hard. When you get over that 3-4 month, 5 month, a year period, whatever it takes for you to kind of heal and like know your self-worth and that there is better out there, the universe just rewards you with so many things. Like, I got to meet Abby, go on a podcast. Like, who gets to say that? I got my first big girl job. I'm finally feeling like okay. And that's probably awesome, because I graduated and I'll never have to see him again.
Ain't that the truth? Unless his mom is on you. One more question I want to ask you is, you mentioned the hardest part about leaving was just feeling really isolated and being afraid that you would be alone after you left. What did those months after that breakup look like for you? Were you actually as alone as you thought you would be?
No, I thought I would be completely alone. I didn't know who to turn to, whatever. Like, who could I trust? Because he made me distrust my friends too. Like, saying like, they don't have your best interests, I do. Like, stuff like that. And turns out they were very welcoming me back. And like I said, threw me a congrats, you're single party. Yeah, it was just like, you would just expect them to not be there, to kind of like be mad at you. And they, like, I've talked to them about it and they would be like, no, we knew that all the stuff that you were doing was not you and that was him behind it, all this other stuff. And in terms of family, they all have said like, you know, we kind of knew some stuff, we didn't know to extent, but like, we always had a bad feeling. So it's like, not your fault. And just having, you wouldn't think that they would still be there, but they always are. They probably won't tell you. They want you to maybe, like, that's your own personal relationship. They're not gonna interfere with it until you find out yourself. But even though it was so isolating, or I felt like I was gonna be isolated, I had the best times after. I kind of went feral and just went out every weekend. Like, you just come to get to know yourself again. And it's just like the greatest feeling.
I love the way you put that. You get to get to know yourself as an individual rather than somebody who's in a relationship. I love
that. Because like, one thing my friend said that it's always stuck with me. They were like, you were so happy before. What makes you think you won't be happy after him?
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I think it's so important because I know that there's other young women and women of all ages who, even men, have experienced this, may experience this, may know somebody somebody who's going to experience this. So I am confident that this is going to go to get somebody help and also just make people feel less alone through their experience.
I was honestly hesitant of going on here and talking about like my stuff. Like I wish like I heard something like this randomly on TikTok. If this lands on like your For You page, definitely if I was still in that situation, I would want like a sign.
The conversation surrounding verbal abuse is going to continue this Thursday, where I get to have a conversation with a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in domestic violence. We had a really great conversation where we got to react to just how raw this episode was. And I also just got to pick her brain about how abuse plays out in relationships and got to ask her questions like, what's the difference between a really heated argument and something that's categorized as abusive? Or if one of my friends is going through a relationship like this, like, how do I get them out? It is one of the most impactful conversations we're going to have this season. So I really hope you tune in to listen. On Tuesday, we're going to be back to regularly scheduled programming where we're going to have our very first friendship breakup. I know I've been waiting for a story that's not just about a romantic relationship. And let me tell you, this story is an absolute treat. It involves a love triangle and a messy friendship and two bad divorces. I mean, like, it is classic breakup breakdown. So I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.